I'm turning now on the Word of God to the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, and reading verse 8. Isaiah chapter 29 and reading verse 8. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty, or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. And my subject for and title for this morning's message is From Dream to Reality. Life without God, life without the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, is like a fading dream. This is really the undergirding lesson and principle we find in this verse. But before we delve a bit deeper into this topic of life being like a dream and fictional without the Creator, we need to ask ourselves, what is this picture doing in this passage, this illustration, this intriguing illustration? Well, just to give a bit of context, which will help us in our theme that we will be looking at this morning, Israel, God's people, were in a deplorable condition, not so much in their status and wealth and so on. Israel was very prosperous at this time. They were experiencing prosperity and wealth. But on the opposite scale, morally and spiritually, they were in a terrible condition. And they were far from their God. They were backsliding. But even though this was the case, if we look at this chapter, chapter 29, God promises that he will not forsake his people. He will judge them. He will chastise them. He will punish them in the form of invasion, the invasion of other nations. First, it would be the Assyrians, and then later on, it would be the Babylonians. But he would spare them. He would chastise them. They would be punished, but he would spare a remnant. So although God would allow the foreign nations to attack his people, the desire and the ambitions of these foreign nations, their desire to annihilate God's people, their intentions to destroy Israel, well, their goals would not come to pass. They would not fulfill their intentions of destroying the people of God. That would never materialize in your dreams, God says effectively to these foreign nations. Yes, I will use you as a rod of my discipline against my people. I will chastise them by using these nations, but your ambitions to destroy my people will never materialize. What you're dreaming of will remain a dream. It will not be reality. So that's the context of this eighth verse and of this chapter. But this principle and this lesson is applicable to those who resist God in every age. Everyone, if we do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's plan for this world, his redemptive purposes for this world, and why this world continues to stand, and why this world continues to exist, is the sole reason that God has a plan to call out sinners. This is the only reason from God's point of view why this world is still standing. And if I resist such a plan, and if I ignore such a plan, according to this lesson in this verse, according to this principle in this verse, my life, what I deem my life to be in my life, for me may seem very real and very tangible. But according to what we learn here, it's if I live a life for myself away from God, my life will be like a dream. It will be fictitious in many ways. It will be like a fantasy. This is really what we're looking at, learning in this verse. Christ and his salvation is the ultimate reality of life. It is the purpose and meaning of life. God created everything. He created time and matter and space and energy. The God, the triune God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the ultimate reality. In fact, the way we organize our time and our calendars revolves around this one person. BC, AD, all revolves around this person who made these grand claims about himself, claims that no other person in history had ever made. The fact that he is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to the Father. He is the one who gives eternal life to those who seek him. No one ever made such grand claims as he has. Dismiss the one, repudiate the one, ignore the one who calls himself the way, the truth, and the life, and my life will very much be dreamlike. It will not really be reality in its fullness. Yes, in one sense, I am alive and I'm breathing and I have physical life, but this is only a tiny fraction of the reality that makes up life in its entirety. The Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course the other members of the Godhead were involved, we learned this, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who created the cosmos and the world, and all things are upheld by his power with the Father and the Spirit. And if I dissociate myself and live life on my own terms and live my life according to how I want to live it, if I dissociate myself from my Creator, who is the source of life and all that pertains to life, then I will inevitably stray off the path of reality. And I will live a life of delusion, which is what this verse is teaching. And we read, and this is taught in other places in the Bible. We learn in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, for example, that those who despise and reject the truth will live a life of delusion. That's what we read. So life is dreamlike, fictitious, fantasy, without really knowing and connecting with my God and my Savior. In this verse, there's an intriguing and a fascinating illustration of a man who is starving. He is famished. And when he falls off to sleep, probably because of exhaustion, he's feasting. He's having the time of his life. He's eating the food that he loves. But is he really? He's gouging himself in his dream. He's feasting. But is he really eating? Is he really filling his stomach? No, it's just a dream. And similarly, the things that people deem life to be, the things that occupy people's desires and priorities, these things, well, they may feel a sense of purpose. People who may be chasing after career and other things in this life, they may feel a sense of purpose, but without being connected to my God, it's really fictional. It's not real. There's been studies concerning the problem of game addiction, and the game industry now is a huge industry. It's succeeded Hollywood and the money that Hollywood makes. The gaming industry is colossal, and studies have been made by psychologists and so on that these people who game away their lives, although they may feel a sense of accomplishment while they're playing, they're not really accomplishing anything. No real skill is being cultivated, certainly not any social skills, but the experts tell us that their brains trick them into thinking that they're doing something. Their brains trick them as if to give them a sense of accomplishment. As if they've done something. I've conquered a new world. I've gone to another level. I'm collecting points, coupled with the stunning, realistic graphics. But it's delusional. There's no purpose in this. I haven't accomplished anything. But the tragedy is, friends, the reason why I mention this, the tragedy is that this isn't just confined to game addiction and those who play games all the time. It's not just restricted to this. This is a problem which everyone faces if they live a life away from God. This is not the preacher's opinion. The Bible teaches this. Solomon himself, there's famous words in the opening book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, futility of futility. Life is meaningless. Life has no context. without God. My successful, well, things in my life, many things in my life may appear to have substance and meaning. I mentioned my successful career, my relationships, the material gains I make in life, and many other things. But this isn't the case. Why? Because these things, without God, have no context. These things are, they're without any meaning or purpose. It's like a dream. These things don't last in and of themselves. They change. They're unreliable. They're subject to so many disappointments. But many people, they live for these things as if they will continue forever. They live for these things as if they are permanent, but they're not. The way I look, and many people, they may have an impressive physique, and they may have a great reputation, but they live and they invest time and their hopes and desires. They invest in these things as if it'll always be this way. And all my many pleasures, I invest everything into these things. But these things, friends, these things are like shadows. You may see a shadow. It may be seen. You may be able to identify the shape, but it has no substance. And this is what it teaches in the Psalms. There are a few places in the Psalms where it teaches life is like a shadow. It's over in no time. And the things that people chase after in this world, they're like shadows. They're like dreams. They don't last. And we read elsewhere in the Bible, it is even a vapor. Life without God, life in this world, it is even a vapor. You see it for a moment and it dissipates, it evaporates. It's gone. Friends, think carefully about these things. Think, for example, if you're old enough, or perhaps if you're not old enough to think about these things, listen carefully at any rate. Maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, think of the things that you used to be into. Think of the things that you once thought were very important. And now, 15, 10 years later, the things that were so idolized, and they're now irrelevant. They've gone out of fashion. They're like a distant dream. They're so irrelevant now. Many things that I used to live for, and even people who live for things like career and so on, I finally reached this goal, and, well, it's an empty room. There's nothing there. And I have to find something else to hold on to for meaning and purpose. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, things that I find exciting, things which grip my attention now, 10, 15 years from now, even less, these things will mean nothing to you. Things are constantly coming in and out of the scene. There are different stages in life. Things that were so important to me, my priorities, things can change, and they do change. Whether I like it or not, things that I live for now, I won't be able to live for 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now. My health may prevent me from living for these things that I love and revel in now. My health changes, my circumstances change, responsibilities come in, or, which happens to all of us, the novelty wears off. These things, because there's no substance to these things, the novelty wears off, and I set my goals and my aspirations on something else. But the things that used to consume me 5 years ago, 10 years ago, they're now a distant memory. They're now like a dream, a foggy, vague dream. And the things that you're living for now, 10, 15, 20 years into the future, they will mean nothing to you. But if I have Christ in my life, He will be everything to me. And 20, 30 years from now, He will be even more precious, even more valuable. Not that He increases in value, but as my understanding increases, as I continue in my discovery of Him and His kingdom, these things become more wonderful. The things of this world, they shrink in my estimation, they evaporate, but it's the complete opposite. When I come to Christ, I'm in His kingdom. The light shines brighter and brighter as I draw closer to the celestial city. There are different, I'm sure you know this, but there are different stages in sleep. There are, I think, 5 stages according to the experts. And the third and fourth stage is around that area in the night where we are in our deep sleep. when we are really fast asleep. And it's very difficult to wake someone up when they're in their deep sleep. And if someone is if you do manage to wake that person up, they will be disorientated and confused for at least a minute. But this is all. This is what will happen at death. Death is the alarm clock, which will wake up countless people from the dream that they're living in this life. This is not reality. This is not real. If I live for my pleasures, if I live for the weekend, if I live for my career, even family, if these things are my all in all, if these things are my the things I live for, I'm living in a vacuum. There's no context to these things. The context of life is Christ himself and God who created all things. If I live solely for these other things, friends, it's meaningless. It's a dream. It's not real. It's like this man in this dream thinking that he's satisfied, but he's not. But this deep sleep will be shattered on the day of my death or the day of judgment. But even before death, this deep sleep can be disturbed. And this is what often happens when people exhaust all the different avenues of life. They've tried everything to pursue happiness and contentment, all the hyped up pursuits of this world. Like in this illustration, in the dream, the man is eating and he's enjoying himself, but he wakes up with terrible stomach pains and cramps. He is still hungry. He is still starving. He still needs to pacify his hunger. And this is what happens to so many people in this world. As life goes by, I move past the stage of deep sleep. That is, I'm no longer consumed by the things of this world. I'm no longer hypnotized by these things. I start to realize that these things can't meet the deep longings that I, the deep cravings. I'm not just like an animal. Life is not just about survival. I'm far more greater than an animal in God's eyes. I'm created in his image. I'm created with purpose. I'm created carefully and with purpose and meaning. Human beings are so much greater than the animals. It's more than just having a roof over my head and food to eat and trivial things to preoccupy my time. Life is so much more than this. And as life goes on, many people discover this, that I'm only living a small fraction of what life was meant to be. I'm not finding the missing pieces, one or two missing pieces to fit into my puzzle. I only have a few pieces. There's a large chunk of life missing if I don't have the Lord, if I'm not connected to my Creator. The promotion that I've been longing for years, maybe in my workplace, or meeting that ideal person, or the fact that I've paid off my mortgage, sometimes people reach their goals. And many other goals. But as I've mentioned before, when they get there, they realize, well, is this all there is? I still want more. I still desire more. I still feel unsettled. I still feel restless. I'm now middle-aged, or I'm growing older, and I've reached some of these goals, but I've only got a few decades to live, and then I'm dead. What's the point? What's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of all of this? To start off with in life, I was so optimistic and I had that sense of purpose. But as life goes on, reality sinks in. Maybe you're a very social person, and that's a good thing. That's a good quality to possess. Sociable person, friendly person. But many people make the mistake of thinking that life is all about socializing and having a good time. But many of these people discover that as life goes on, the friends who I think will be with me through thick and thin, as life goes on, I don't even know where they live now. And as I move into my twilight years, where is everyone? Where's everyone gone? I used to be the life of the party. I used to be so busy and have such a wonderful social life. And now that I'm entering into my twilight years, where is everyone? Everyone's gone. This used to mean everything for me. It's like a dream. Life does come to a grinding halt. The things that we live for, the things that we treasure most, they're shadows, they're dreams. It's a vapor without God. There's nothing substantial to hold on to in this world. It disintegrates. It fades away. The only thing that is substantial is the Lord and his salvation. Everything else will fade away. Everything else will let us down. And it's often the case as we continue to race on in life, reality does sink in. And like in this picture, the person wakes up and they're starving, they're hungry. It's a brutal reality. And sadly, people discover it too late on their deathbed or the day of death. But God is so gracious, even in times of trouble, God does and can wake up people in times of great catastrophe and trouble. But even in times of trouble, people are momentarily stirred to think about the greater issues of life and the great meaning and purpose of life. But as soon as things get better, they discard it. They forget about it. How sad. I'm in great trouble. Perhaps I'm seriously ill and I'm rushed into hospital. And the things that were meant everything to me up until this point, maybe my friends and my social life or the pleasures or many other things, now I'm lying in hospital in my bed and there's tubes stuck up everywhere and I don't know whether I'm going to make it. And the things that I was obsessed with, I now see these things in their true light. I see these things as meaningless and so trivial. They certainly can't help me in trouble. And that's really when reality so often breaks in. The things that meant everything to me, when I go through the deep waters of life, when I go through the great storms of life, I discover that these things are powerless to help me, to bless me, to uphold me. They're useless. They fade away. They're like shadows. They're like smoke. They disappear. There's an intriguing passage in the Bible in connection to this. I just draw your attention to this passage in the Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 9. Listen to this. This is speaking about, well, people who are living for, or people, the people of Israel at that time, they rejected the Lord, they worshipped other gods, and they were violent and corrupt, and God would judge them for this. But the things that they were living for, the riches that they were living for, in the day of their visitation with God, when God would judge them, these things would be helpless to save them. Just listen to this passage. Very jarring. They shall cast their silver in the streets, the silver, the precious things that they have, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. The things that I prize most above God, these things are a trap. These things aren't real. I'm delusional. I'm not thinking straight. I may be very capable and very clever in many other aspects of life, but concerning spiritual and moral matters, I'm blind. I don't realize that I'm heading into a lost eternity. But friends, the reality, when God breaks in, when God comes in, when God troubles us, this is not a bad thing. When I do feel uncomfortable about the fact that everything in my life is meaningless, and it can be very painful waking up to this truth. My whole life is a fabrication, is delusional without the Lord. But God, this is a gracious thing. This is God throwing a lifeline. He sends trouble along my pathway to wake me up from my spiritual sleepwalk. I'm heading into a lost eternity. Don't react like so many people do when they go through times of trouble and difficulty, when disappointment suddenly comes upon them. Momentarily, I've already mentioned this, momentarily they're troubled, they're stirred, and they may even come to a church service once or twice. They may even open up a Bible if they have one and read it, but not for too long. Eventually, they will smash the alarm clock of conscience. They will get rid of it when things get better. And they will be distracted again, distracted to the grave. Many people do that. It's an absolute disaster. God has used this occasion as a lifeline, as a call to the soul. That initial shock of waking up, I've got to move past this. The fact, and I've got to realize that I'm a sinner. and I'm in trouble with my maker. And I shouldn't allow the things of this world to continue to hypnotize me and to cause me to idolize these things above my maker, above my God. God is waking me up to the reality that one day I will stand before him and be judged if I don't attend to that which is most needful. The reality is that I've broken his commandments, that I am a sinner and I will be judged by him. I owe him everything. He is my creator. He has given me life and breath. And I treat him as though he's nothing. I treat him as though he's a stranger. I don't pray to him. I don't love him. I have no inclination to seek him. And for this, I will be judged. But God is so kind. He will often warn us many times in life concerning this reality that we need him and we cannot live life in its fullness without him. God has proved himself to be gracious by not only, well, creating us and giving us life and breath and being so long patient, so long suffering, even with those who despise him, but those who seek him, those who lay these things to heart, those who recognize that they are sinners, that they do need a savior. What God has done to make provision for our souls is absolutely staggering. There is nothing like this in any other religion, because this is the true faith. This is the true religion, that God himself would condescend from his lofty throne and deal with the problem of our sin. We cannot deal with it. No creature can deal and rectify this problem. The creator himself, if anyone was to be saved and forgiven and escorted into heaven, God himself would have to do something. And he did. 2,000 years ago, it was planned before the world began that the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, should come from his throne and live a perfect life that we could never live. Live that life on our behalf, that it should be credited to the account of those who seek and find him. And he also dealt with the problem of our sin, our lies, our anger, our lusts, so many sins. When he was dying on that cross, he was being judged for the sins I've committed lifelong. He bore them in his body and soul, crucified on my behalf. Father, forgive them. Father, I will be punished in their place. It's free. It's entirely free. And we must respond. We must accept this reality. It's the ultimate reality of this world. It's why this world continues to stand, that God is calling out sinners to himself. And this world in its present state will not be around for much longer. There will be the new heavens and the new earth, but only for those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I appeal to you, as one of God's servants, believe that Jesus Christ died for you personally on the cross. Friends, don't let another Sunday go past, brushing these things aside, smashing that alarm clock of conscience. It's so dangerous to do that. And yet another Sunday will go past, thinking that you will have many more opportunities. You may not. Friends, don't play risks. Don't play games with God. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ. If your conscience is troubled about these things, pray. Seek him. Pray to him. Ask him to help you. Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I believe that my Savior died for me 2,000 years ago. Lord, I give my worthless life to you. Oh, breathe meaning into my life. Oh, Lord, may you, my Savior, may you be my all in all. I surrender my life to thee, Lord. Forgive me, cleanse me, make me a child of God. You can use your own words, friends, but believe that the Savior died for you. Repent of your sins. Put your trust in him. Be willing to surrender your life to him. And if you're sincere, this is the promise of the Bible, that God will hear your prayer. He will forgive you. He will bless you. He will wash away your sins. He will change you and bless you and put you on the road that leads to eternal life. The moment I do this, I will be delivered from this dream, from this delusion. Light and understanding will be flooding into my mind. My life will now have substance and context now that Christ, who is life himself, I will now have eternal life, abundant life. No longer living life in a vacuum, a life full of meaning and purpose, now that I have the Savior, and he will escort me safely into eternal glory, and I will see him face to face. This is what you must do, friends. Don't wait another Sunday. Don't wait another moment. Don't procrastinate any longer. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ while he is calling to you. Amen.